If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Come again? Did Jesus really say that love means keeping commandments? Isn't love supposed to be free and generous? So what does following a bunch of rules or becoming rigid about commands have to do with the beauty and freedom of love? Surely this comment by Jesus is a fluke, right? No. He reiterates it just a few sentences later. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. And again, a few sentences after that. And in John's gospel, Jesus says this several times. Then John himself says it later in one of his letters. The love of God is this, that we keep his commandments. And this from the same man who told us about Jesus washing the disciples' feet, who told us about Jesus forgiving the woman caught in adultery, the one who told us simply that God is love. So what is John telling us now? What do commands and rules have to do with love? There are two ways of looking at the relationship between law and love, from the start or from the finish. When Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," you might read this as a description of cause and effect, like if you play with fire, you will get burned. So we could say that Jesus means that love will cause us to fulfill his commands. Though when Jesus talks about love and obedience the second time, we couldn't really make the same interpretation. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. So now it sounds more like he's advising us on how to recognize whether or not a person loves him. The way he phrases it seems to mean that obedience to commandments, to the law, is proof of love. Now, these two meanings are not absolutely contradictory, but they do point us to an important reality about love and law. Yes, love is primary, and perfect love is the truest fulfillment of the law of God, as St. Paul tells us. At the same time, however, we have to ask ourselves what it means to love. We must realize that Jesus is not trying to reduce love to a set of rules, but is teaching us about the real meaning of that love. When we say that love is the fulfillment of the law, we are looking at the situation from the finish, the goal. If we get to the point of truly loving Jesus, we will fulfill the law as naturally as fire burns. But simply saying, love Jesus, is not enough. It doesn't make it happen. You probably know this yourselves. You can ask anyone who's ever tried to love God. Keeping his commandments doesn't come automatically. We still sin a lot. And that is why Jesus speaks about having and observing his commandments. If we look at this from the starting point, we see that it is a journey through faith and obedience to perfect love, to perfect charity. Earlier I said it seems like Jesus is telling us to prove our love as if we were on trial. And in a certain sense, that is true. Satan means adversary, and he is also called the accuser. Satan accuses us of sin and wants us to be condemned and convicted. And his whole goal is to prove to us and to God that we do not love God as we should. So Satan is our prosecutor, and he is way more intelligent and powerful than we are. And Jesus knows this, and he knows that everything hinges on this question, this judgment. Do we love God or not? And that is why he does not leave us in the cosmic courtroom to face Satan by ourselves. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always. That word, advocate, in Greek, it is parakletos, which is often used to describe a lawyer. It means counselor, advocate, comforter. It literally means someone who stands next to you. He is talking about the Holy Spirit, who is our defense attorney, our advisor, our friend, to help us face down Satan and avoid his accusations. But notice that Jesus said another advocate, because we don't lose Jesus, who is also our advocate. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are one, both persons of the Trinity, and they work together as our advocates in this trial. So yes, we do have to prove our love, and we have to prove it through actions, by observing the commandments Jesus has given us. Because simply saying, "I love Jesus," is not enough. Satan will get in the courtroom and will twist our words, plant seeds of doubt and confusion in our minds. We say, "love Jesus," so Satan tries to twist our idea of love, or to warp our perception of who Jesus is. And he is too subtle, too clever for us to figure it out on our own. So we do not rely on our own power in pursuit of the only thing that matters. By the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of Christ's redemption on the cross, we are given strength to actually love God in the truest way. When we think, love Jesus, we should ask these questions. What is love? Who is Jesus? And fortunately for us, Jesus answers those exact questions. And do you know where he answers those questions? In his commandments. And that is what it means to see love and law in terms of a starting point. Because the commandments do include rules. There is, in fact, a list of things that Jesus tells us to do and not to do. But the point is not the list. The point is not proving our own strength, our own righteousness. The point is simply that the list, the rules, point us toward love. Satan will try to give us a fake love. So Jesus gives us a map, a set of directions. Do these things, and you will begin to do what love does. And if we do these things, if we begin to imitate love and imitate love with sincerity, we will begin to actually love. Jesus describes the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth because he helps us to hold on to true love. At the same time, he never lets those commands, those lists, break away from himself as a person. The rules don't just teach us an idea, abstract actions, but they teach us to love a specific person. It is yet another reason that Jesus' goal wasn't to come and give us the Bible or a list of rules. He gives us the Holy Spirit, who guides the church, who is an advocate and a counselor, so that our decisions, our actions, and our efforts to prove ourselves in the courtroom of love stay personal. It is one thing to read a list or a book and follow it. It is quite another to seek advice, to have an ongoing conversation about the commands, to converse with a person. And that person is the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is that person. So yes, love God and you will go to heaven. But make sure that love is real. Do not let Democrats or Republicans tell you what love is. Do not let Disney or Netflix or Amazon Prime or anyone else who's rich and powerful and has control in this world tell you what love is. For the love of God, learn from the God who is love what love is. Know the commandments, follow them, and most of all, let them become more than a list. See them as a gift from a beloved friend, for that is what they are. And the easiest way to be a moral person, to be a holy and loving and righteous person, is not only to follow God's commands and rules, but to experience them, to recognize them as the mystery they are, that they point beyond themselves, to not simply know and follow, but to be conformed to them. And as I will pray soon on your behalf, in a few minutes in the offertory, may we be conformed to the mysteries of God's mighty love through Christ our Lord, our lawgiver, our love.